We had quite a long discussion about the using of the word. But I hope you don't mind. Welcome, Minister, DG, and your team to come and take us through, Minister, as per your request, to brief us about progress which we have made since you last time appeared before the committee on the 28th of August this year. We have acceded to your request that indeed you can be able to brief us because it's important. I hope if you are following the discussion last week when we are dealing with the BRRR report, in particular for the department, you will see that it's very important that you take us on board in terms of where you are and the processes which we are busy with as a department, so that indeed we are able to ensure that indeed we are in a good path as a department, because our sector is a key sector in the economy of the country and so on. Members, we are starting. Those members who are not yet here, they will find us going. We've got quite a long program. We don't have time. We don't have a space to breathe. If we create space, we might be here until 12 this evening. So it's very important that we use time efficient as we can, so that we are not here until 11 or 12 like Thursday. Minister, I'm not going to waste more time, but however, I do have apologies from Honorable Van der Merwe attending the ad hoc committee, which is filling the vacancies on the Commission of Gender Equality, with stipulated dates. She won't be available today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today they are running until 8. Tomorrow they are running until 8. Thursday they are running until 8 in that commission. So she won't be able to be part of the meeting unless she get a chance. The second apology is from the Deputy Minister, who's engaged with organizational work. She also apologized that she won't be able to be part of this meeting. Those are the apologies I'm having before me. I'm not sure whether there are other ones, but these are the ones I'm having. I'll move with the speed, members, and hand over to the minister to take us through his progress since his last appearance on the 20th of August 2013. Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I thought in Parliament you, the Your Excellency, not me, but anyway. Firstly, how much time have you allocated to us?
You have 30 minutes to make your presentation.
Okay, fine. So you'll stop me 3 minutes. You'll let me know 3 minutes before the closing time, but I'll try to squeeze it in. Firstly, Stella, the Deputy Minister was going to deal with her sections that have been delegated to her. But between the DG, the officials, and I, we will pick up on that. I want to thank the committee, Chairperson, for the efficient way in which you've been managing the bills that are before you and that have been before you against very difficult odds. And from what I can tell, you've processed them quite expeditiously and efficiently. And so I thank you as a committee for your cooperation in that regard. Also to say, I think the ground has been covered. I regret that I was not here when the Auditor General's report was being finalized. I did explain to the Chairperson the challenging circumstances. Of course, this has been a difficult period because partly it's related to, I think, which all parties are preoccupied with, the forthcoming elections campaign. So Parliament's not sitting in the way it would normally do. So when we plan the programs in the executive, we look for plenary weeks to be here, and not taking fully into account that committee weeks also should be given the attention that they deserve especially when you have so much of legislation and the annual report process. So I apologize for that. It won't happen again. We've dealt with the issues in our office that have partly contributed to that. Obviously, you've got the 20th of August report. This is a report 2.5 months later on what we've been able to achieve and not been able to achieve, and where we haven't got to where we intended to, we'll explain why. So on the first page, if you like, of the PowerPoint, I think it was sent to you before this meeting, and since it's only 30 minutes, I'll be very brief. Those were the things we said we would do, and our own view is that we have made significant progress, but of course it's for you to decide. So we turn to page 3, PowerPoint 3. We said we would have a more effective DOC, and in that regard, the DG's delegations and performance agreement is finalized. We are also now reviewing the DDG's performance agreements to take more keen account of the 20th August program, and that will be done with the help of DPSA within the next 2 weeks. The three DDG jobs, we've processed that. It's going to go into the cabinet cycle in the next week, so the three outstanding DDGs will have been appointed by the end of this month. The chief financial officer is being interviewed, I think, in the next few days, and so it is with other jobs. We're also advertising 40 non-senior management positions between now and mid-December. PowerPoint 4, we said that part of our job is to have a more effective DOC, and we're also saying that in that regard, the migration process led by the deputy minister has been significantly advanced and recompleted by the end of this month. Outstanding labor matters have been finalized. Now, in response to your BRRR, we have an action plan, and we're happy to bring it to you. Elements of it can be dealt with today. Is that right, DG? So if you want to ask any questions about the action plan, the DG and her team will deal with that. We've also engaged with National Treasury to begin assisting us to become more effective management. The next PowerPoint, we spoke, of course, while recognizing that there is a very competitive sector, obviously there are huge profits and other interests at issue, we thought we could contribute towards making it less fractious, and that's an ongoing thing. It's not as if we can achieve that overnight. We've had several workshops. We've met, in fact, about 183, I think the figure is, individuals and organizations in the last, well, since the 10th of July. We've had several workshops trying to bring stakeholders together to see if we can secure consensus on the cost to communicate and spectrum. They were quite successful in some respects, in others not. Digital migration, of course, is more challenging, but I'll come back to that. Finalizing broadband policy, we're pleased to say that has been finalized from ourselves. It's going to SIP 15 this week. Goes to Cabinet on the 27th of Cabinet Committee on the 27th of November and to Cabinet on the 4th of December. What was good was that on October 25th, we had a workshop with some 100-plus people. Of all the people who made submissions to the gazetted version earlier this year, some experts and other stakeholders. Next week, we're calling some international experts in on the 11th and 12th to look at our broadband strategy plan and policy before we take it to Cabinet Committee, as I said, on the 27th of November. On the the spectrum policy, a lot of people are upset. They feel the spectrum policy should be, or spectrum should be issued faster. They said it can be done. The department said it can't be done. So I said, okay, why don't we bring both parties together? And indeed we did on the 15th of October. The outcome, interestingly, from a very wide range of stakeholders was that there's no need to change the policy, 2010 policy. What's important is to get the policy directives out. And the policy itself could be changed after 2015. And that's something we are applying our mind to, though, as you well know, the relationship between broadband, digital migration, and spectrum has to be taken into account. On transparent pricing policy, we felt that given what is happening at the moment over the MTRs, the mobile termination rates and so on, we should see how this process pans out before we give the policy directives. On the issue of a pricing workshop, that indeed was held, as we said it would be, before the end of September, on the 26th of September, and what came out of it is a proposal that we set up a permanent forum which would look at this in an ongoing way without undermining the independent role of ICASA. We said we'd engage with ICASA about it. Concept paper has been developed by the department on MTRs, and of course we held a meeting with ICASA where this was one of several issues discussed, and they attended also the workshop on the 26th of September. On digital migration, I think you're aware that DTT Network has now covering 81.7% of the population. On 30th of September 2013, CENTEC launched the satellite platform FreeVision to serve as a DTT gap filler for the 16% of the population not covered by DTT. The tender for subsidized satellite STBs is being processed. The DG will add in that regard. We are thinking of moving forward quite swiftly with the terrestrial side because we're still stuck with the DTT side dealing with the set-top box matter. And we're obviously conducting education provincial road shops. Maybe you want to ask the DG and the other officials in regard to that. On the facilitation process, that's finished. The report was given to us 2 weeks ago, if I'm correct. We're taking it to Cabinet on the 27th of November, and a final outcome will be determined by Cabinet as a whole on the 4th of December. In the meanwhile, I should mention that the facilitators, four of them, were unable to secure consensus amongst the feuding parties. So it's for Cabinet to take a final decision. On the connecting of schools, a framework on school connectivity has been agreed to. The DM is running this matter. She's not here, but the DG will attend to the matters around it in Jabu, I think. There's been slow progress in that regard. We said on the 20th of August, 788 schools, 61 have already been connected. The progress was due, of course, to a lack of required equipment for the WAN and LAN installation, but it's now been received and connectivity can be accelerated. And Jabu and the DG will deal with that. On the post offices, there's the outcome. We said 50 new post offices stroke points of services, and you can raise that further if you like with the officials concerned. On the address system, that's the progress we record. There has been some progress between the Statistician General's office, ourselves, and National Treasury. Maybe you want to ask questions in regard to that. The next PowerPoint is shareholder compacts. Now, what we've done, based partly on your own concerns too, is we've said that no shareholder compact will be approved in future, which does not include the Auditor General's recommendations from the previous years, and we have to monitor it more effectively. With regard to ZADNA, the selection panel, it's being overseen by the Deputy Minister, has made its final recommendations and she's processing that. Five CENTEC board members, since we saw you on the 20th of August, have been appointed. On Sapur, we have over 200 nominations. We've reduced them to 16. In the next 48 hours or so, we hope to bring it down to 4, and then we will take it to the cabinet process over the very late again. Latest, the 4th of December cabinet meeting will have finalized that, if not a meeting sooner. We have actually covered the last point there, that all shareholder compacts will have to include the AG's recommendations, but also we want from the state-owned companies a clear action that they themselves, beyond what's there in the shareholder compact, are taking action plan in response to the AG's concerns about them. On the shareholder compacts, to continue on slide 16, we've had, of course, many meetings with the boards of these SOCs. In fact, I think we've been meeting them extremely regularly. USASA has been engaged in respect of the Gobodo report. They have responded last week sometime, or the previous Friday. Since then, we've handed the matter over to the Chief State Law Advisor. He is managing the legal issues around that. On the board and management support, the post office, we've had several engagements. There are various allegations of corruption and appropriate inquiries are underway. On the issue of licenses, regarding the post bank. Now, this is quite a challenging area. I would prefer the department to deal with this. We're engaging with National Treasury this evening, the minister, around this matter, so we'll take it forward. So firstly, a cooperation agreement has been developed for consideration by the Post Office Board. The application to the register was lodged on the 26th of September. The memorandum of cooperation has been updated. The assets and liabilities separation has been conducted by SAPO and finalized. DOC is now expected to audit this. And negotiations with national, that's taking place today, in fact. Then on the National Integrated ICT Green Policy Paper, in fact, policy paper on ICT, in fact, Choam Joacha is here, the chair of the committee, if you want to ask him anything. They're very close to finalizing the report. A program of engagement will be implemented. Now, we're going to take this to cabinet. So, again, it will be settled at the last cabinet meeting. It's hoped to have a colloquium to launch the green paper and to present it to Parliament and so on at an appropriate stage early in the new year. But there will be provincial hearings on the green paper beginning mid-December onwards, presumably. The ICT forum, we want to do sometime in late February, as we said, either by end of November or early next year. On the community broadcasting support policy, yeah, we must apologize, really. There has not been substantial progress. And really, we make observations about what we've done, but it's not good enough, and we accept that faster progress could have been secured, and no doubt the officials here will, in fact, respond to any questions you have. Then finally, the eSkills Institute, the Deputy Minister is responsible for this. We hope to launch the new institute by mid-December. The money's been released, 15 million from Treasury, and we are partnering with local universities in this regard. The delay in getting the money out to them has been a problem, but now we're attending to that. I think the money will come in at the end of November, and I've written to them today to say that, Sam, by mid-December they'll get the money. Is that right? Yeah. Chairperson, if I'm correct, I've taken 20 minutes, so if you could kindly give the DG a few minutes. We still have 10 more minutes, but whatever minutes you want, and any of the officials to add within the 10 minutes that's still available to us. Okay, that's about 20 minutes. Thank you.
thank you. I didn't know that you'd have that capacity, but much appreciated. DG?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Maybe just to add on what the Minister has added. Part of our priority, Minister, in the last 2.5 months was about stabilization of the department, getting the one process that has been a bit of a challenge for us for a while, which is the migration going. And we can report that we have achieved considerable progress with regard to the migration of staff. But the one good progress, again, Minister, to flag on is the finalization of the DDGs, and the memo is going in the next few days to Cabinet. And hopefully by end of November, early December, we would have appointed the three DDGs and have a full complement of DDGs, which would assist us in stabilizing the department. Because what one appreciates is that when you don't have that level of stability, it's always difficult in terms of getting the work done. But in essence, Minister, not to repeat what you have said, this is issues that we've covered in the last 2.5 months. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other addition? There seems to be none. Members, that's the progress report emanating from the presentation the Minister made on the 20th of August, 2013. Those who are here, the reason why I didn't introduce everyone else, I don't have the list here with me of the guests. Ordinarily, when we start the meeting, it should be here with me, but unfortunately, I don't have. So I didn't want to introduce others and leave others out and cause unnecessary other people feeling important, others feeling less important. So that's why I chose to introduce the few, which will be starting the presentation. It was the Minister, the DG, and its delegation. We'll deal with the other part when I have the full list. Members, that was the presentation by the Minister. Simple, clear, straightforward, clarities on it. Honorable Sheen, Honorable Stein Killen, Mtambi, Honorable Sheen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, thank you for that very rapid report back. Much welcome. It's been delivered with the rapidity in which you've actually set about your task. So well done on a lot of what you've done here. I'm obviously particularly concerned about the set-top box issue. One wonders why you're bothering to take it to Cabinet, seeing it's already been decided for you by the SABC. And wanting to know, you said there was no consensus between the feuding parties. Can you please let us know what the legal and financial risk to government is for the way that it's been done at this stage? The SABC decided on July the 3rd that they weren't going to go for conditional access, again, while the policy was still being formulated. So one wonders what action, A, against the SABC and its board and its officials is perhaps being contemplated. And then also I want to know, we talk here about the tenders, that's for the satellite boxes, but I'm also wanting to know what will be the impact on the set-top box manufacturing strategy in which, you know, very many people got involved. What impact on the credibility of that policy will be the outcome of the set-top box decision that was made by the SABC. Also wanting to know if, in the light of that decision, whether the tender is going to be reworked for the local assembly, perhaps, of the set-top boxes, or whether we're now going to embark on an importation of set-top boxes. Then, on the Schools Connect, I see that there's been extra money allocated to this, and I wanted to know what support structures are there for installing the systems, installing the computers at these schools, teaching the teachers how to use them, teaching the teachers how to teach the kids how to use them. You know, it's all very well. I mean, we've traveled the country and we've seen storerooms full of boxes of computers that have never been unpacked. What are we actually going to do to make... What plan is in place to make sure that these computers are installed and become effective, the security of them, and to make sure that they're not just, you know, a wasted gift that sits in the storerooms. Yes, I welcome the shareholder compacts being tied to AG recommendations. I think that's essential because one of the persistent failures of the department has been that it allocates most of its money to entities and then sits back and these guys do what they like with their money. And I think it's actually important that they really are held to account for turning their institutions around. Yes, on the USASA inquiry, can you please give us some indication of what kind of charges are being looked at by the state law advisor and when we can expect some action on fast-tracking the charges as they may be from corruption within in USASA? I think that's it for now. I'll leave some to the others.
Thank you very much, Honourable Steyn. Members, we've got until half past 10. Whether the minister has responded or the department at half past 10, that's it. We go to the next work of the committee. We've got time pressures. We don't have luxury of time. Honourable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the minister also for this quick report back. I trust that the implementation of these things will be as rapid as the report back has been, because it certainly sounds encouraging when you give a report back, but to actually implement what is in the report may not be as rapid as the report back. Just to start off with, on page 4 where you talk about project management training for managers that will begin on the 8th of November, how long do you anticipate this is going to take? And has all the managers been identified that will undergo this particular training? Then something that I'd just like to in fact raise a question with you, Minister. On page 7 you referred to the National Spectrum Policy. We will, after your session, we will be finalizing the ECA amendments. Now, one of the amendments in there, for some reason, When we went through the amendments, the department suggested that we delete the words let and sublet when it comes to spectrum license. But we retain the other words, which is assigned, ceded, or in any way transferred. And I'm just wondering, because I've re-looked at this, and I'm wondering why we omitted the words now let and sublet. And I'm just wondering if you could, if you've got any views on that specific paragraph there. If you'd care to share that with us for our for information for later when we go through it clause by clause. Then my colleague has addressed the STB issues. Chair, I'm almost there, I think. Yeah, one other thing there, where you indicated early in your presentation that all the labour-related matters have now been finalised. All outstanding labour matters have been finalised. When you, on the 20th of August, you did refer to labour matters that were referred to public service, specifically related to the findings of the Ethics Committee. When you say all outstanding labour matters have been finalised, do you include those particular ones? And I'm being very specific, those that were identified by the Ethics Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Stein. Honourable Killer.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And also from my side, thanks to the Minister. We see he's doing very good cleaning up operation, and also the speed with which he's moving in to get sort of some order and some stability in the sector is welcomed. Can I just...
Of course, you can give credit to the ANC. He's the minister of the ANC. You can process it.
Chairperson, I will appreciate it.
You should now vote for the ANC.
If you will not interrupt, because credit is where credit is due, we have always been willing to give credit. It's not to give the ANC credit. It's a minister who's doing his job, and I think we should congratulate him for that. But that just is by way of an introduction. Chairperson, I would like to ask the minister. Some of my concerns were addressed by my two colleagues, and that was in relation to the labour issues and specifically Ethics Committee matters. Secondly, it was the STB issue. What is outstanding for me at this stage, and if I look back at the presentation made on the 20th of August, he made quite a big comment about the SOCs as state-owned companies and their capacity, resource, and other challenges. Now, I see that there is some progress that can be reported. However, specifically with regards to two of the major, well, may I say three, if we now say SAPU is being addressed and there are some irregularities, etc., and you can perhaps just tell us about that more, allegations of corruption, etc., and what you're doing about that. But I would like to ask the Minister specifically with regards to ICASA, if he believes that the current legislation that is being processed by Parliament is going to have a significant impact on the effectiveness of the regulator. And if he believes that some of the issues cannot be dealt with in the manner that we are dealing with it through the legislation, but possibly through other ways. I mean, getting the right people to do the right jobs, getting the structure in order, etc. If he can share some ideas about how to fix ICASA to become an effective, independent operator, regulator, so that they can manage operators, etc., in the industry. If you could tell us about that. And secondly, if he believes that the legislation before us at present is not possibly to be executive creep in the operator, in the regulator, in the operations of the regulator, if he can share his views on that. Secondly, I would like to just touch on USASA. It is a major important body for us. It is important that that body is seen to be correct in all respects. There's a huge cloud hanging over it at present. We don't know the details of the Kubota report, and we don't know how serious the department is to clean up that operation. So please, if you can share with us how you feel about it and what you think must be done to really clean it up. And then lastly, Chair, the SABC. Last time you expressed a concern with regards the financial sustainability of the SABC. What is your current view? There's a new board, but the Auditor General has made very significant and very negative findings about the SABC. And will you have a special focus on the SABC with a hands-off, or can I say a sort of a long-arm approach, so that you don't interfere in the editorial policies, etc., of the SABC, but that you make sure that the institution itself is really performing as South Africa's public broadcaster in all respects, an effective operation, and not allowing itself to go on satellite instead of getting into the household of all people, also those especially who cannot afford pay TV. What your views are on that? How do we ensure that the SABC is there for everybody? Thank you.
Honourable Mtambi, and I've requested to welcome you back.
Chairperson, let me take this opportunity to commend the Minister of the ANC for the sterling work that he has been doing thus far in making sure that the department delivers on its mandate. Chair, with regard to the slide, I see that there are
signs. You can repeat your first comment, it's very encouraging.
Okay. It's coming on the SABC, like Clearness said. We were expecting that, like as it did his previous presentation, that they will be talking about the finalization of the shareholders' compact, dealing with the managerial positions at the SABC. Also, with regard to the SABC progress on digital migration and readiness, including their financial sustainability. I think the slide is on silent on that. And then moving to slide 10, the free vision thing. But the issue is about without set-top box in the market, nobody will ever see this service. And then I want to understand how soon will there be subsidized satellite STBs available to qualifying TV households, and when will free vision STBs be available in retail? Secondly, is USASA and the post office ready to distribute free vision satellite STBs? And then, you see, Minister, until the general public can access free vision, there has only been a soft launch, like just when Centec did that, you remember, it announced the switching on of the DT signal in 2008. And then slide 12 on school connectivity. This, you know, you'll remember, Minister, it has been another burning issue for this portfolio committee, and we've raised this time and again. It's really not enough to say that 788 schools will be connected. There needs to be a proper project plan with time frames indicating on a month-to-month basis the number of schools to be connected so that the portfolio committee can exercise proper oversight. On slide 13, you indicate the slide. This indicates that SAPO will be building 15 new offices. You'll recall when ICASA presented its annual report here some few weeks ago, it specifically mentioned that when it did research for the online MEC to indicate where broadband services were available, they were surprised to find that the majority of the post offices do not have broadband services for the public. Now, the question is that with all these new post offices that are going to be built, are they going to have broadband access? And what will be done to ensure that the citizens will have broadband access in the post offices, especially in the rural areas where most of us come from, our constituencies. And then on the last one, it's on slide 20. Slide 20 is talking about the community broadcasting. The department has finalized a legal matter that was holding out the rollout of community broadcasting studios. Maybe one would like to know what this legal matter was all about. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ntami. Minister.
Thank you. You know, one of the values of coming to the portfolio committee is we pick up things that, as a member of the executive, you don't normally. Like some of the questions you're asking are really comments you're making, which are very useful. Like the idea that you'd have a month-to-month, account of what we're going to deliver and you monitor us. In fact, what we can do is send you a monthly report. Javu, can we do that? So I think that's really helpful. I didn't know that the issue of broadband, for example, and post offices was such a challenge. But as I understand it, I think the DG will add. What we could do, Chairperson, is we could bring the broadband policy to you. It will have been processed by Cabinet by 4th of December. But we could maybe in February, bearing in mind it's elections and I think Parliament will be sitting for a few days, we could brief you on the broadband policy. Remember, there's an annual review. Well, not remember, but in fact what we've got is an annual review of the targets on broadband and also a reasonably regular review. It's going to be annual of the policy, not the whole policy, aspects of the policy. So in fact, those sort of things are very helpful. Let me start with Marianne Chin. Yes, I saw in the media, I'm not sure it is meant to be a letter to me, I'm always bemused, but that's politics, that opposition parties rush to the media and say they've written to the minister, and about 5 days later, you get the letter from the MP concerned. But look, it's fine. It's not a big deal. The question you ask, I think, that underpins much of what you say, is the SABC board deciding for government? The answer is a categorical no, it cannot. The SABC, as important as it is one of several stakeholders in this regard. It cannot decide for its shareholder policy. It's never done anywhere in the world. But what it says has to be taken seriously. As I understand it, let me explain what the negotiation process was about. It was simply this. You had people wanting the set-top box with conditional access and you had others not wanting it. And each side was threatening to use legal and other action to hold the process up. What is one to do? Moreover, the previous minister in this very house announced that she was considering reviewing the matter of STB control and providing for a non-mandatory option. Moreover, she wrote on the 19th of June to the SABC to make it very clear that she is seriously moving in that direction. As you said in a letter, I think of a question that I've replied to that's come from somebody, I think it's Marianne, they all were done yesterday. So if you look at what I've said, you should also look at the parliamentary questions to which you have put to me that I've replied. And the 19th of June letter is quite, bothersome, as they themselves say, gave them the go-ahead. When I came in on the 10th of July, that contract was already agreed to. Now, that's neither here nor there, because at the end of the day, government has to decide what's in the interests of the public. And where there's a difference between itself and the SABC, government will obviously prevail. So your question is, why did they issue a statement before cabinet decides? Simply because all parties issued statements. When the negotiators brought them together, what was the reason they were brought together? Essentially to say, this is government policy. What do each of you think about government policy? Where do you agree and disagree? Where you disagree, which areas can these facilitators help to find some narrowing of the gap, if not consensus on, and which are the areas you will never agree on? That was what they were asked to do. And that's the report they've done for cabinet. They finally got some agreement on exactly what the policy means in terms of robust control. It effectively means encryption, is the argument that's come out. There was consensus on that. But there wasn't consensus on much else. And the facilitators said they can't take it forward. So it's not for government to decide. Now, all the other parties have issued statements. Since the facilitation process ended some month ago, 3 weeks ago, until then, all parties were required. We can't force them. It's a voluntary political process. All parties were required to be circumspect in what they say in the public domain, because it will undermine the negotiation process if you go out and say things and position yourself and so on. So when that process was over, the parties asked us, can they say publicly what their positions are? And we said, we can't stop you. We'd prefer you not to, but we can't stop you. In any case, they were each leaking about the other. Okay? All the parties were doing it. We then, when the new board was appointed, the SABC took that position that it publicly declared with the interim board. So when the SABC new board was appointed, within 48 hours of the appointment, the DG and I went to the board, inducted them on the Friday. Is that right? It's a Friday. Within 72 hours. No, I think within 48 hours we were there. And then we brought in the facilitators and the chief state law advisor to brief them on the legal issues of the ETV judgment and the where the facilitation process is. And we asked them, as a new board, this is where things are. They said, you're expecting us. This matter's been dragging on for 5 years. As a new board to come to a position, we can't do it, which is perfectly understandable. So we said, no, the reason we're briefing you is not for you to come to a position immediately, but just to tell you where things are. And if you've got any proposals as a new board to undo the logjam, please assist. So they last week issued that statement. I don't know why they did it, but it's within their rights. It will only be an issue if government decided that the SABC is going to decide for itself, and that ain't going to happen. That you can be assured of. We are at the moment engaging with other ministers around this matter. We're going to cabinet committee on the 27th, as I said, and cabinet on the 4th. And we will come to a decision based on the following considerations. One, what will best protect our local electronics industry and create jobs? Two, if I can just mention, I organized my thoughts for some other occasion. If I remember correctly, the second point that we wanted to stress was, well, I can't find it right now, but it's essentially around how can we ensure that indigenous entrepreneurs actually benefit from the rollout of the set-top boxes. Thirdly, how can we allow new entrants to enter the pay TV sector to channel a monopoly, but not at the expense of a set-top box subsidy? Four is what would the fastest, most effective, simplest way to move forward, given that we are so far behind. This was meant to be launched on the 1st of September 2008. We are 5 years and some months behind schedule. We have a June 2015 deadline. It will require the most massive effort to meet that deadline. So what will work the fastest? Then the final consideration, I think, is which legal challenge is likely to be least strenuous? So it's not an issue, an abstract issue of whether you have control or not. It's an issue of these six principles, and each of them has to be linked to the other. There are no easy answers. We ourselves are working our way through engaging with other ministers in the cluster. People have different views about it. So I'm pleading that we don't over-politicize this. I'm also pleading, Chairperson, that we don't use a set-top box to settle scores with the board or people we don't like on the board. Those are separate issues. Parliament must exercise its oversight. We must exercise our... Don't use a set-top box issue at the expense of the people out there who are going to be the people that suffer the most. I would plead for that. That's what I'm saying. That these are world-class facilitators. I can tell you who they are now. ETV opted for Peter Harris. DSTV opted for Charles Newman. We then said, no, we must bring in other Mlamli Boy and Basit Sane Molebatsi. I mean, these are really world-class facilitators. They said they can't do anything more. So, in short, just give us a break for a month. It's an executive terrain at the moment. As Parliament, let us conclude the matter, and we brief you early in the new year. On the issue of we won't interfere in editorial content.
Gillian. I'll come back to Marion's other questions in a moment. Okay, let me deal with hers quickly so she doesn't feel that she's going to write. She'll write me endless questions to Parliament, so let me quickly deal with it now. On the issue of e-connectivity, as I understand it, your question is, why isn't this moving faster with schools and so on? Jabu, do you want to reply? The Deputy Minister is dealing with this matter. Quickly, can you reply? And you're right, and we've apologized for that, I think. We do now. We should move faster. Over to you, Jabu.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. Yes, it has been moving slow because, you know, there was a slowdown in terms of acquiring equipment. So the 61 or so schools that have been connected was informed by what stock Telkom had to connect. They have since ordered additional equipment leading us to the completion of the project in 2014. And so they will be delivering at a much more faster rate. However, the only glitch is the schools closing in December will have to shut down as well because there won't be any people in schools. And with regards to the project plan, we do have a detailed project plan which we can make available to the committee. Thank you.
Just add, Chairperson, on one final matter. You'll recall that when I came here on the 20th of August, we said that the set-top box matter is too big a matter for us as the Deputy Minister and myself to take a decision on. The Cabinet must. So either way, we said, if it's control or it's not control or there's a third option, we won't take that decision. It's too big a decision. Must go back to Cabinet. Cabinet in 2008 is very different from Cabinet now. The ICT world then and now, it's worlds apart. Right? So the fact that we're taking it to Cabinet doesn't necessarily mean we're going one way or the other. We have more or less edged towards one position as DOC, but we will take it to Cabinet and they will decide. They might not agree with the proposal we've got, but we are certainly not taking the decision on our own. We are more or less ready now. By Friday we'll have done all the groundwork, so we're ready to move forward, but we feel as a department we won't. So Cabinet may just reaffirm the existing BDM policy, they may tweak it, or they may throw it out. Let Cabinet decide. And Collins, the Minister, will give a press conference on usual Cabinet outcomes, and presumably he'll cover that. Let the Cabinet decide. On Osasa, the Gobodo report is an internal report. People have challenged it on the grounds that they have not been, some of them, interviewed. It's an interim report. It makes various proposals for further inquiries. It'll be very costly and time-consuming to do those inquiries. So we sat with the powers that be in the board and elsewhere and said, why don't we settle this thing through a negotiated, informal matter? We tried, and that failed. After that, we decided to hand it over to the Chief State Law Advisor. And as I told you, they replied to us about 8 to 10 days ago. They largely reject what the Gobodo report says. We have now decided to take forward the inquiries, the Gobodo report, based on Enver Daniels and his team's advice. So we're not sure we'll take it forward. We do not have the legal expertise in our department to manage such a big matter. So we've asked the Chief State Law Advisor, and once this process is complete, we're not going to carry it on endlessly. One thing you must be utterly clear about, US Parliament will require, where people have done something wrong, and they've been given a chance to be heard, and the case against them is legally tenable, there will be decisive action. So we can't have our cake and eat it. This is a constitutional state. I would like swifter movement, and I've discovered that actually it ain't easy. People throw the law back at us. And some of them use, this is a matter the Parliament must apply itself to, some of them use government resources to hire the most expensive lawyers to fight their own shareholder. This is a matter I think the state-owned companies, it's a broader issue that's dealt with by this committee and the Public Enterprises Committee. So we will take action. You hold us to account. We mean to do it, but we're doing it legally. The negotiations did not work. On the issue of Stain, I'm very confused, Mr. Stain. These are not words on paper. These are actions that we've actually done. So I'm not sure why you're saying you speak so rapidly. On the one hand, you complain we speak too much. On the other hand, you complain we're speaking too fast. Maybe we can discuss this sometime informally and find out what's the right. We did it within 20 minutes.
No, don't worry. It's only me who can complain about that.
So what I'm saying, Chairperson, is I don't understand what Mr. Stain is saying. Can you read that properly, please? It's actually things we've actually done. and things we're going to do. So as far as the things that we've done, tell us what we could have done that we didn't do. We've explained to you in two areas we failed, or we haven't achieved what we said, and we explained why. I'm not wholly convinced by our answers, quite frankly. You hold us to account. Now your job is to hold us to account to things we said we would do. Call us back here in the middle of February, we'll answer. But to say that these are just words, please read that. It's not fair, but maybe we can talk outside. On the issue can you deal with the migration thing and the project management skills and the spectrum policy and the ECA?
Minister, on the issue of the spectrum policy, honourable members will remember during the deliberation of the ECA, the issue of let and sublet was agreed that it will be taken into the ICT policy review because it's a broader policy issue. Hence why I think what we are saying is that we will review the policy in 2015, so it will be aligned with what comes out of the ICT policy review. While I have the mic, Minister, can I deal with the issue of ICASA? On the issue of the ICASA, one of the things that also members will recall is that there was a legislative amendment on the the inclusion of expert on the council, and it was agreed that the issue of the size of the council and how that whether they are full time and all of that would be a matter that would be taken to the ICT policy review. So I think what we are saying is that our view is that Parliament goes through a process of appointing the councillors, and we believe that these are people who have got the capacity and the capability to perform for the functions that they're being appointed to. So there are certain legislative and governance challenges that are a bit of a problem, and some of them, Minister, we're dealing with them in the current ICASA amendment. Others have been put forward for review in the ICT policy review, and we believe that the two processes will assist us in strengthening the role of the regulator. The last issue is on the SABC, and one of the things that would acknowledge and thank the committee is the finalization of the SABC board, because that assisted us in the stabilization of the SABC. But over and above the finalization of the SABC board, the board also assisted us in proposing names for the audit committee, which has been finalized by the shareholder, that is the minister. So the issues of the AG would be therefore being dealt with in the audit committee, and we believe that the two structures will assist us going forward in terms of the stability of the SABC.
On the matter of labour-related issues, they're the routine labour-related matters, right, that we're preoccupying us. On the ethics committee, as we said publicly, or replied to a question to Parliament, we can't do anything. If I go to the public service commission and instruct them, then you guys will say, I mean, you members will say, it's political interference. We wait on their report. The Parliament gave them the report. I don't know where that process is. Maybe DG, you can just check. I don't know if it's ethical for it. We'll find out check with the Chief State Law Advisor, what's the appropriate thing to do. So once they do their report, we will then act. At this stage, people have a right to be heard. The Public Service Commission is answerable to us. It's answerable to Parliament. So we stuck until the Public Service Commission. Again, whether it's a member of the department, or it's a politician, or it's a board member, or a manager, we're all bound by the same law. You'll hold us to account, and we'll hold them to account. And you put pressure on us on those matters. That's what Parliament's supposed to do. So we're in agreement. It's just that we can't dictate to the Public Service Commission when they have their outcome. But presumably it's been some weeks now, months, since they got the report, and hopefully they'll have done it. On the issue that you raise, I've covered the Gobodo report matter. On ICASA, will you respond? I mean, certainly the law alone won't solve those issues. Very quickly, when I first met them in July, they said they don't have enough funding, they don't have enough resources, they need more skills. So we set up a joint task team with them, but some issues arose then about how appropriate it is for the executive to have a joint task team with an independent regulator, which confused me. So that issue fell away. I mean, I'm not sure how we're going to proceed. Because I did point out to ICASA, Chairperson, they're independent of the government and they're independent of the majority party or any party, but they're not independent of the country. They're not independent of the human race. But there are streaks of that sort of approach by ICASA. So, you know, we don't know what to do. We're stuck. We've asked for legal advice on how we're supposed to help people who then say to us, no, you know what, you can't set up a joint task team because that's undermining our independence, right? So, really, I don't know where that is stuck. Can you tell me where that, what's happened now? Because we're not sure how we should engage with them. Can you explain? Is that happening? Or the last time I heard, there were complaints that I'm interfering, right? So I said, fine, okay, leave it, I told the DG. But I don't know, you've been talking to them. Just tell us what.
Minister, since then we have engaged with the chair, and there has been a number of interactions between us and the regulator. Our view is that it has improved in terms of our interaction, so we are definitely communicating and with the view of aligning our policy, so that when we come up with a policy direction, it has been consulted properly with the regulator. So there is definitely interaction.
Okay, on the issue of the state, oh yeah, you're right. This is an ongoing thing. You know, more resources, more. It's not going to happen overnight. Also, we're in the same boat here. You from the point of the parliament, we from the point of the executive. If you were more effective, we would be more effective. If we were more effective, you'd be more effective. So I don't know what we do, but there's no magic wand here. I kept saying, look, between now and May or April, our task, Stella Ndebeni Abrams and myself and the DG, is to provide a firmer foundation for more effective service delivery and development, right? Whoever comes in. So now, in short, we have not made empty promises. There has been a significant improvement. One or two of the boards complained that we're seeing them too much. It hasn't happened before. So you ask the board members when they appear here. Others complain we don't do enough to help them. But we leave you to decide on that matter. But certainly I can give you an account if you want. Ask a parliamentary question. You love doing that, Marion. It's great because then you're not campaigning for your party. You're busy researching and typing to me. I like that. Fine. You know, takes you away from the election campaign. Ask me how many times I've met the boards and so on. Can you prepare a draft? Who is it? Prepare a draft in the meanwhile. The number of times you have the boards, you'll be quite surprised. Informal and formal meetings. I can even tell the number of telephone calls. Look it up. You know. So, anyway, on SAPOR, yes, we're moving forward on SAPOR. It's a very complex problem. We have asked Enver Daniels, he's delegated his deputy to attend to the matter. She's facilitated some meetings. It's going to be a phased incremental process because we have done inquiries into SAPOR before. We're pulling all of that together before we decide on which forensic investigator will be approached to take the matter forward. On the issue of executive creep, no, we have no intention of doing so. They won't allow us. Let me tell you, whatever you think, they're very touchy about these things. Okay, I think there's a moment we should ask Joe in a moment to just speak about how we're reviewing the role of USASA and ICASA. The green paper will be done by the end of this month, and then I think we should brief you in February. Maybe we have a full session in February, we'll take you through all of that. On the SABC financials, yes, the JTT is there. We've given some space to the new board to find its feet, but we ain't budging. We're going to continue with that, and I think early December onwards we'll start again. But on financial sustainability, it's a complex issue. We would like your opinions on what can be done about it. Certainly, we're clear that something has to be done to revamp the whole of SABC in respect of its financial sustainability, right? We're aware of that. They're aware of it. And the new board must be given some space to find its feet. We don't want to pounce on them, but probably in mid-December or so, we should move forward with the JTT. But we'll talk to the board. No, SABC is not going to like replace DTT with satellites. That's your question, but you can add there. Shall I quickly go through? We're running out of time, then you can just fill in the gaps, right? On the issue of managerial positions, I'm pleased to say one of them is about to be resolved. Is that right, today? You sent the memo. Yeah. If all goes well, because lawyers often at the last moment change their minds, one of those key positions will be undeadlocked, if there's such a word, in the next 48 hours, right? Because I would like to show it to a major lawyer to check that we're not doing anything that is not appropriate. So that matter finally will hopefully be resolved in the next 48 hours or so. On the issue of free vision, you will add to that. On set-top boxes in schools and so on broadband, I think we will talk about our e-government approach in broadband. On USASA, we agree it's a burning issue. 788 schools is not enough. We agree with your month-to-month, Ms. Matambi. Can you deal with the last set of issues? on what the legal matter is. I think it's your area, Themba, on community broadcasting. And then maybe we give the DG 2 minutes or so, Themba 2 minutes, and if it's possible, Chairperson, I don't know, Joe 2 minutes or a minute, please. Because they hear and they could round things up where I haven't answered questions. But thank you indeed for all your questions.
Minister, Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much, Honourable Members. The issue, Honourable Minister, in fact, comes from the oversight report of the committee itself, which said that in the issues of sound fusion, there were some issues which were not appropriate. We were asked to look at these issues. There were delivery issues which they picked up as well, and these resulted in this legal wrangling between ourselves and the service provider. Also on the kind of charges that the service provider was also demanding for the provision of the new station. So, Minister, it took a while to resolve all of these issues, and we're glad that the service provider eventually came to their senses and agreed to the plan that government wants. We now have a new plan in place to complete 15 new community radio stations which will be provided within the budget limits as agreed with the service provider. I think it was around 2011. And Minister, this is what is at the crux of the issue around the legal issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think from the point of view of the review process, and I think the issues which we're looking at relate to the question of the mandate of USASA, the legal framework of how actually USASA itself should be operating, the structure of USASA, and what are the activities which USASA ought to be doing. Before the review process got underway, USASA itself had already undertaken a lot of research with respect to what should be the role of USASA. The two processes then were rolled together, and in the green paper which is coming, I think the whole issue of universal service and universal access of all the communication services actually will be addressed. And also what is going to be addressed, it will relate to the question of providing to South Africans a clear view as to where is infrastructure, the state of play, where are the services actually which are there and which USASA has already undertaken. So it's quite a very, very extensive exercise which is linked to the question of universal access and universal availability of all the services in the broadcasting, in the telecommunications, and also in the postal areas. So all of them are being looked at and they're being mapped, and there will be a report which is the status quo report, what has happened since the last policies actually were adopted, where we have advanced universal service, where we have not succeeded to advance universal service, what then actually ought to be done as we are going forward. And so that's the kind of report which is coming. And I think we'll be posing a lot of questions with respect to how actually to deliver universal service, and also the model of doing it, which is much more efficient than actually what we have done most probably in the past. And so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Just to answer the quickly the question by Honourable Steyn on the project management and who's been identified, I think Honourable Members would recall when we were here the last time to present the audit findings, the action plan, we indicated that to move the department's performance from the 54% in the annual report, we'd want to sort of projectize the entire APP going forward. So we engage with National Treasury, the Technical Advisory Unit, as well as PALAMA. So the Friday's training will be, although we suggested a bigger group from Assistant Director upwards, we advised to stick to Friday's training will be for top management, that's chief directors upwards, as well as the relevant directors who are currently project managers. But I think going forward, we will obviously look at expanding this to more of management, and look at more advanced training as well where needed on project management, because we believe it could help with in terms of implementing the APP going forward. Thanks.
On the issue of the school connectivity, Honourable Members, we would really want to do more, but unfortunately we are hamstrung by the availability of the funding, and this is an area that we have engaged intensively with National Treasury and also the Department of Basic Education, it could be a matter that members could also assist us in engaging or oversight with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education and National Treasury, because while I think the intention is there, but what we always get told by Treasury is that there isn't sufficient funding from the fiscal. So it's an area that we continue to engage in them, but funding is a real issue. If there was sufficient money, we could do more for the school connectivity. On the issue of connecting post offices in the rural areas, what support tends to do in areas where there is no terrestrial connectivity, they would use the satellite. Of course, what becomes a determining factor whether they can connect a post office with satellite would be the cost implication in terms of ensuring that that particular post office is connected. And the last issue is on the free vision and the availability of set-top boxes for DTT, which would use the existing specification. But noting that satellite will be dealt with differently in a sense that it requires encryption to deal with the spill-off of the signal, especially when you deal with neighboring countries. Members will recall that there was a case that ETV dealt with in Botswana, both ETV and SABC in Botswana, which requires SABC, or not necessarily SABC, Sentech, to ensure that it has encryption on the satellite platform to ensure that you don't have a spill-off of the signal. So this is part of our broadcasting digital migration, but focusing on areas where, especially in the Northern Cape. And on this, honourable members, we were given the approval by Cabinet in terms of subsidising set-top boxes for the Northern Cape area. So it is an area that we'll be dealing with going forward. Thank you, Minister.
Just one final thing. I know people are teasing and sometimes serious and sometimes facetious, but I don't think we should reduce whatever has been done between 20th of August and now to an individual. It can't be, right? The DG is working extremely hard, and so is the team here. The Deputy Minister also has got a full set of delegations, which we would like to, at some stage, if it's approved, bring to Parliament, because she represents the Minister when I'm not available. So there was some confusion also about the role of a Deputy Minister, but she's been got full set of delegations. So unfortunately, she can't be here. She'll only be in Parliament at about August 12, I think. She explained what it is about. But hopefully in February, she'll be much better able to answer to Parliament some of these issues from a more political point of view, because what's delegated to her, she runs fully with that. She just accounts to me, so to speak, with under ultimate political authority in terms of the Constitution. But she's also working quite well, and so I think it's a collective effort, Chairperson, to be more serious. Not least, DG, that I have to be fair, Chairperson. Whatever happened in the past, the DG is working extremely hard, and she's pulling people together. Obviously, these tensions we spoke about at the last meeting on the 20th of August won't fade away. They never do in departments or amongst politicians. But they have been, I think, reasonably reduced. But it will flare up every now and then. So I think the department is slightly better off now. And I want to thank the DG and colleagues here for their cooperation, and thank Parliament too for your useful comments and questions.
Thank you very much, Minister. Unfortunately, that's where we'll end, as I've indicated. I see members are trying to raise their hand. When you ask questions, must be precise. If a member asks 10 minutes question, starting by saying I agree with that member but eating time, instead of going to precise to question, it always become a challenge. How do you manage that? But in terms of the people who have attended here, we've got quite a number of them. The media, they are here. I won't go to mention one by one. NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, they are here. ICASA, Neotel, MTN, ETV, EDCO, PMG, Telkom, MultiChoice, Cell C, they've sent an apology. They are appearing before ICASA for MTRs.
on one-to-one today. There's an apology. You've got councillor from ICAS, I've already mentioned, board member, Mel Lata from USASA, is also here, and Diwosi and the team, and everyone else who might not have been captured, but those are the people in attendance, of course, including members. Members, you are raising your hand. What do you wanted us to do?
Chair, thank you. I just wanted clarity on an answer that the minister gave, if that's possible.
We are talking. Members, you live by your sword. We need time. We don't have sufficient time. We must run legislation and other things. Thanks very much, Minister and the Department, for your progress report and answers to members' questions, which we have done very well. The other problem, Minister, I've picked up, people that have asked questions in the house, they are repeating it here. Double dipping. They ask questions which we are responding somewhere else, they are repeating them here. Sometimes also that I've picked it up many times, that some of the questions you are responding to are also questions which I've asked in the house for responses and the other things and so on. So that has been happening. Quite a number of questions which are repeating that and so on. We are not hard and fast around those particular issues. It's just that members must balance very well, double dipping, and the other thing which is a problem. You wanted to make a follow-up? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Did I hear you correctly saying on the set-top box thing that with the warring parties that there was consensus on encryption?
No. You said the other side wanted, the other side they don't want it. There was no consensus in terms of that. I can respond to that. That's what you said.
With all due respect, Chair, I ask the Minister, not you.
But you can't waste time of the committee by repeating what the Minister has responded to. If you decided not to, that's not a clarity. That's not a clarity. It's a clear issue of not listening when the Minister respond to questions. You can respond, Minister.
Technical meaning of encryption versus control. The technical issue they agreed on. But on the matter of the chairperson's right, it's only the technical thing, that's the only agreement. Lumley Boy facilitated it. But I think at some stage, chairperson, we will consult with the chief state law advisor. I think we should release the report at some stage, but I can't decide that. I have to check what the norms are in this sort of situation, because there are legal and other considerations also. So I can't decide, but in principle I don't see why, once cabinet's finalized it, some or other version of the report shouldn't be made available. But I'll check with the chief state law advisor.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Minister, and your entourage, delegation, DG, and your other senior members, your advisors. I've seen both of them, they are here, and also the chairperson of the ICT policy review. Work. Thanks very much. We are done with this first part. You can break for tea. We'll resume at 11 and continue. Thank you.